Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. Transform everyday spaces into gathering places with custom craft countertops from Menards. Countertops are the center of the home, and we offer stylish options with durability that will last for years to come. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go on Menards.com and get a free design estimate today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for many other great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
No, you can get a sandwich made anywhere. You take it for granted now. Out there, every shop has a deli. Every deli has a person. Every person makes you a sandwich. I salute them. They're everywhere. If you're not from Ireland, I'm sure you can appreciate our deli culture. Actually, even shops that don't sell sandwiches, I'll let you in on one. All you have to do is ask. We're actually obliged to get you a sandwich. It's a kind of an unwritten law since the famine. They have to do it. I do it all the time. I'd be like, any chance of a sandwich? They'd be like, do you still want these in a size 9? I do, yeah. I know. But I know my rights, okay? I'm not saying they don't have sandwiches in London. What I am saying is they don't make you sandwiches. I go into a shop and I go, sorry, could I get a sandwich? They're over there. No, I don't. I walk past those ones. I don't want one of them sandwiches made in a factory in China 9 years ago. I need you to get me a sandwich. There was even a Morrison's near where I lived, which is a big, huge kind of supermarket. And they had a huge deli and a bakery. About 19 of them working inside the deli. So I was like, oh my God, finally. So I walk up and I go, sorry, could I get a sandwich, please, with, sorry, we don't do sandwiches. Jesus, sorry, I don't know what gave me the idea. All of you people dressed as sandwich makers in the sandwich making facility. We don't do sandwiches, we only do wraps. They only do wraps. And I said, I don't like wraps. Is there any chance I could get a sandwich instead of a wrap? No, we only do wraps. We only do wraps. I was like, you're not trying to tell your business now, but there's a lot less hassle in sandwiches, actually. You cut out half the training. No one's ever panicked trying to fold a sandwich last minute. Could I get a sandwich, please? I don't like wraps. No. So I had to buy a wrap, bring it home with me, and put it into a sandwich. You know, it was the only, it was the only way out of it.
Well, that's Cork native stand-up comedian Chris Kent touring Ireland with his new show, which is called Offline. It follows the stories from Chris's 8 weeks offline. No smartphone, no internet, just a good old-fashioned Nokia. So how did he get on? Well, we can find out because Chris is with me now. Chris, good morning and welcome.
Hello, Pat. How are you?
Would you like a sandwich?
I'd love a sandwich. I'm always open to a sandwich, Pat. You know?
Now, tell us about the decision to go offline.
Yeah, so it was kind of a number of aspects, really. I felt like I've been doing comedy a long time now and I have to write a show every single year. And I felt like my phone started overtaking me and I didn't feel like I could create as well anymore. My creativity was definitely impacted. And I just felt like I wasn't thinking for myself with my phone, you know. I'd use it to sat nav my way home from every gig. And you know what I mean? I lived there. I should take a chance. I shouldn't need directions to my own house, basically, or what I should eat and all that. And yeah, so it was just a challenge I wanted to set myself. I found it very distracting. I couldn't sit down for 5 minutes without kind of going, oh, I need to pick up my phone and have a look at something, like, you know.
Yeah. So 8 weeks without
Eight and a half weeks it was, yeah.
How did you get on then? Where did the challenges actually arise?
It was incredible. So logistically, there were some challenges. So they set up a gig for me in Mayo in Tormachidi. And that's all the information I was given. I was given a phone number of a pub in Tormachidi and you get there. So I had to get out the old maps with my friend and sort of map my way up, which was really exciting. I had to book accommodation, which I found you cannot do without the internet. So I went to Halfords and bought myself a tent and rang the pub and said, can I please camp outside your venue tonight? So that was another one of the challenges. You know, even just simple little things we take for granted, having your boarding pass on your phone. Mm. So I had to print all of that off and bring it with me when I was gigging over in the UK. I got lost a lot over there. That was my biggest challenge, was getting lost a lot because I didn't have my sat-nav. You know, we just turn up to a place now and we go, where will I meet you? I'll just put it in here and I'll see you there. There's no
Yeah.
There's no problem, like.
Now, did you not get your break as a result of the internet?
Yes, exactly. I did. I got a huge break.
Hypocrite.
I know. I was working two jobs up to 2 years ago, and I just kind of eventually gave up my electrical job and exploded online, got a huge break. But yeah, part of me then was curious about that as well. Like, what can we do without the internet? So I also sold a gig without the internet. That was another challenge I did. I did a gig and you could not see it online. You couldn't buy tickets. It wasn't advertised by me or the promoter. So I had to go up and flyer people on the street, posters, do radio, just to see the difference.
How did it turn out?
It was great. It turned out really well.
Packed?
Yeah, it was packed. It was in a comedy club in Cork called City Limits. And I was just pounding the streets, flyering people, telling them about this gig. You cannot buy tickets anywhere else except on the door, physical tickets. And it was great. And it was it was the first time I did my new show as well. So everyone was on board with it. Everyone kept their phones away for the night. Because at that point, I hadn't had my phone in like 8.5 weeks. You know,
I mentioned you got your break through the internet, exposure on the internet. But how did the comedy begin? I mean, were you always kind of a gas man?
No, actually, no. Not at all, no. Quite introverted. Funny within a small group of friends, I would say. But never the class clown or anything like that. The comedy came about. Des Bishop actually did a show in Knockinheeny, where I'm from. And I knew some of those guys on it. And I went to see them do these stand-up comedy gigs and it kind of opened up my eyes. And I was like, oh, these guys are, this isn't Tommy Tiernan or Des Bishop. These are just guys like me and girls like me. And I don't know anything about them and they're doing comedy. And I was like really inspired by that to give it a go. And once I did it, then I really kind of had a bug. Like that was in 2005. So I've been doing it a long time, you know.
Yeah. Your comedy is anecdotal comedy. Mm. I mean, it's things that happen to you. And it strikes me when I talk to people who do anecdotal comedy that they just see the world in a different way.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the skill. And that's part of the reason I wanted to give up my phone as well, because I thought I was really good at trapping those thoughts and going, oh, this is funny. I mightn't write it down immediately, but something would happen. I'd observe something around me. It could be anything from being on my honeymoon, something I'm going, this shouldn't be funny right now. I'm supposed to be on my honeymoon and this is supposed to be lovely. And I'm seeing things going wrong. And in my head, I'm sort of planting a new routine, you know.
How true are some of these stories? I mean, the victims of your comedy, often your wife.
Yes.
Your father.
Yes. Yeah.
All the stories that I've seen you tell online.
They're extremely true. They're not embellished too much at all. And sometimes they may be a bit subversive. Something about my wife stealing my jokes from for her speech. She genuinely did an amazing speech and did much better than me. But I thought it was funny to sort of hone in on it and sort of pretend that she stole my material. It was more about joke theft, that whole thing.
Yeah.
It was a little bit subversive. But I just thought it was even funnier for me to be so petty about my wife stealing my material, you know.
And your dad picking you up at the airport.
Yes, that is 100% true.
That is true.
Oh, God, yeah. And they have a barrier on Cork Airport now since. I go up to Cork Airport and they all know me now. All of the security staff know me. All of the airport police know me. And they come up to me and they're like, yeah, that's... And other people in Cork will think, that's my dad. That is my dad.
I mean, basically, he would arrive too early to pick you up.
Way too early. Before I leave my house in England, he's leaving my mother's house on the north side of Cork to pick me up in the airport. And then it's this vicious circle of him being driven around and around. Moved on by the airport police. And I get out and he's all agitated. And he's like, where were you? And I'm like, well, I was in the sky. I mean, it's not a lot I could do about it. There was another day where he dropped me to the airport and I accidentally, they didn't realise it, I had his car keys in my pocket because I went down to the car first.
Oh, and all you need is
the car key. And you know, it's because it's a button.
Yeah.
I went in, podcast on, into the airport, completely through departures and everything.
And once he stops the car, he's bunched.
He couldn't get out of there then. So he couldn't even be moved on. He didn't have his keys. It took him a while to realise. And then I was in the departures lounge because Cork Airport is very efficient. We go straight through. And all of a sudden, I heard my name on the tannoy and my dad was outside and his car had stalled and I had his car keys. Luckily, I just had finished that podcast. Otherwise, I'd have flown to England with his car keys in my pocket.
By this time, of course, he's notorious, I presume, in Cork Airport.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Here he goes again.
Yeah, there's your man outside.
Yeah. Do you ever try to use ChatGPT or Copilot from Microsoft to write jokes?
No.
I wonder how they would be.
Yeah, I'm not technologically, I'm not really, that's the other thing then. It's kind of by pure persistence. I got the break online from learning how to edit and all that. It's not my forte. I don't like it. I'm not very tech savvy. So the whole ChatGPT thing, I haven't really ventured into it at all for anything yet. Yeah. You know. So.
Now, tell me about the tour. How many gigs have you got? You've got a big one in the Marquee mid-year.
That's
the
big one. Yeah.
Now, where else in the meantime?
I'm going to be in the Olympia in Dublin. I'm going to be in the INEC in Killarney. I'm all over Ireland. I'm in Naas and Newbridge. I'm in Limerick. I'm doing like 5 nights in Dolans. I've most of them done now. I'm in Belfast in the Whitla Hall tomorrow night, actually. That's my next one. Waterford in the Theatre Royal. So I'm going absolutely everywhere I can. And it's such a dream to be able to play all these venues where I normally just opened up for an act. Do you know what I mean?
Now you're headlining.
And now I'm there. And it is really, and it's brilliant. I opened for Frankie Boyle last year. You know Frankie?
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. I opened for him at the Olympia. So I'm doing my own share this year. But I also opened him from Kilkenny, and it's a different skill to get your head around. So I was there with Frankie, and they came up to me before one of the gigs in Kilkenny, and they said, listen, they're a bit rowdy. We've thrown a couple of them out already, which is not what you want to hear when you're a support act. And they definitely don't give you the time of day. And they said, we threw this guy out because he was throwing his shoes on the stage. And I was like, oh my God, what am I in for here, you know? Trying to win them over. And I get on stage, I'm supporting Frankie in Kilkenny. And I look down and these guys down here, they just won't stop talking. And as I look down, I realise one of them doesn't have his shoes on. And I'm like, is this the guy? Did he get back in? Yeah. Or has this become a trend where they're all now throwing their shoes up onto the stage? He got back in, apparently, another door anyway. So,
One of the things I was going to ask is about when you travel your show to the UK, for instance, and the universality of humour. I mean, you tell a story about your father and the glass and the porch.
Yes, yeah.
And that could happen anywhere to anyone, anytime.
Again, a true story. When I was a kid for that, and my mother actually tells a much funnier version of that story because she came to see my stand up. So I suppose I kind of have to kind of butcher it a bit in a way. My dad came home from the pub. I was really young. He'd had a couple, let's just say, and he ran. He ran through our porch. It was very serious. The front door was open, the porch was closed. He ran through it.
You ran through the glass?
Ran through the glass. And the whole bit is about never giving up on the drink. It's a kind of a silly bit where my mother was like, you know, what the hell, you need to cop on. And the paramedics came and it all really happened. And the paramedics said to my dad, you know, you need to be careful. You broke the porch. You gave your wife an awful fright. You know, you're lucky you're wearing jeans. And they really said that to him because they saved your legs, you know. And my dad just looked back at this paramedic and said, I better get a denim jacket, you know. And that was kind of my, I don't know if that happened or if I wrote it, but I know that maybe that happened the next day. But I brought my mum to a comedy club and she watched that routine and she said what actually happened. She was there. I was upstairs when it all happened. So what actually happened was my dad came home from the pub. There were some cousins of ours staying. They were just across the road. My dad dropped my cousin home. And then when my dad was coming back, my mother was in the kitchen having some chips at the end of the night, which also is another one of my routines. And she heard a huge crash and she was in the kitchen and she was just like, what the hell was that? And my dad walked into the kitchen, absolutely covered in blood. And he just sat down on the chair opposite to her and she was just kind of staring at him in disbelief and in shock. Mm-hmm. And my dad said to her, you're not going to believe this, but somebody just broke your porch. and that's actually what, that was actually, that routine was far too crafted and all that before she gave me the actual version.
We have to leave there. Chris, where do people get details of your tickets?
Oh, chriskentcomedy.com.
chriskentcomedy.com. That's Chris with the C and Kent with the K.
That's correct. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Chris Kent. Thank you very much for joining us. And that's all we've time for. Don't forget our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.